Hi, everybody, and welcome to another Lateral Line podcast sponsored by TidalFish.com. I'm at the Oxford Lab today with fisheries biologist and DNR director of the Oxford Lab, Steve Early. Steve has agreed to talk to us about myco, and we're going to go through a list of questions so that we can sort of find out what we know and what we don't know about this. And thanks a lot for taking the time today, Steve, to do the podcast.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to try and relay some of the science of fisheries management to anglers.
Well, excellent. So we'll start down the list, because I know we got a lot to cover, and you and I have been talking here for about 20 minutes, and it seems pretty involved. So why don't we start out with the first thing is just what is myco, and what does it do to the fish?
Well, we're talking about a bacterium. Mm-hmm. Mycobacteria is the genus, and we think from time to time that we're talking about the species Marinum, Mycobacterium marinum. There are actually about 10 different species that we know of right now of Mycobacteria, and several of them actually show up on striped bass that are studied, and you can't tell by looking at it which one you've got. It's called Mycobacteria because the appearance of the bacteria when it's cultured is rather like a fungus.
Okay. And just, I want to step back just one second and say that here at the Oxford Lab, you actually have two studies of myco going on, one at the state level, one at the federal level, that falls sort of under you and rolls up to you. So you're managing that. Just to let our listeners know that, you know what's going on here from the top level and are in touch with the biologists and talking to them on a regular basis. And the other thing I wanted to mention is this really isn't new to you or the biologists. This is something that has been around since, or at least known about at, from your level, from 1996 or 97, but it wasn't ever that you were ever keeping it from the public. It was that you guys would just do your job and probably see 100 of these things every day, and it's not your job to take it to the press or anything like that. And recently, I guess with somebody learning something about it or something like that, sort of how it's got into the press. Is that pretty much fair to say?
That's pretty fair. We've known about myco in striped bass for at least 10 years. We don't know that when we first encountered it, that was the first time it was there. Could have been there for years before. We really don't know that. We have been studying it since 1997 here at the Oxford Lab. And this is, myco stories are kind of an annual event. And sometimes when press is slow, you pick up on a story. We have had, for several years at least, a fish health page on the DNR Fisheries website.
Okay.
Kind of hidden.
Right.
You kind of had to know where you were going to get there. And that presented factual information to the extent that we knew it about myco. That is being updated, and we're going to put a direct link right on the opening page for the fisheries webpage. That'll get you back to fish health and myco.
Well, excellent. I think the public will like that. How is the myco transmitted from fish to fish? I mean, I'm not clear at all, quite frankly, on how that happens. So is it water has to be a certain temperature? A fish has to be near each other? Is it when they, fertilize in the spawning process through the, genes? Or how's that all work?
That's an easy question because we don't know the answer.
Okay.
Myco is a relatively cold temperature bacteria. It grows rather slowly in very warm temperatures. So it's got a preferred habitat, just like striped bass have a preferred habitat. And there are other bacteria out there that operate the same way. Several years ago, we had a fish kill a white perch from a bacteria, Aeromonas.
Mm-hmm.
And that we've had them on more than one occasion, and they happen in the spring because as you move from cold water temperatures up into summer water temperatures, you pass the preferred habitat of the organism, and if it's there, it blossoms, it grows.
Gotcha.
Then you grow out of that temperature regime. Well, myco is kind of the same way. It is a very slow-growing bacteria, though, not an aggressive grower. So it takes a while to understand exactly which one you have.
So I mean, theoretically, this could have been in the fish for the last 30 years and been being carried, and now it's just become active, or
It may have been there for who knows how many years since the bacteria first developed. I don't know.
Okay.
Is it now more prevalent than historically? Apparently so, since we began studying it in 97. And whether that's because of a transmission mode, we don't know if it simply goes from water to fish. We don't know if it goes from fish to fish, although we've found it present in striped bass eggs in some samples. We don't know if it can be transmitted from the egg to the new individual upon fertilization.
Huh.
So transmission's an unknown.
And is the ultimate, I guess, recourse, or when they get it, I mean, are they doomed to death? I mean, is that the process here?
That does not appear to be the process. We know that the incidence of myco on striped bass increases with age. Relatively few have it at age 1 in our samples, more at age 2, more at 3, more at 4, more at 5. Of course, anglers pretty much know that striped bass begin to migrate to join the coastal migratory stock at age 2. So a lot of the fish aren't even in Maryland to check. This year will be the first year that we're able to take a rather comprehensive look at some of the overwintering population from North Carolina to evaluate the prevalence in coastal migratory fish. We do believe that there are fish certainly that die from it. We also see fish that are apparently in recovery. How many fish die from it is one of the big questions, and of course that issue was raised in the recent Washington Post article.
Right.
The information is not clear on a couple levels. I don't want to say it's wrong.
Right.
I'll try and touch on several points. One notion is that as a result of myco, natural mortality rates have increased. Natural mortality being everything else that fish die from except for fishing.
Right.
Okay? There are some people who believe that that rate has increased as a result of myco. The first question is, well, is it directly attributable to myco? And no, we can't make that determination at this point. Another question is, has natural mortality actually increased? The studies that the Department of Natural Resources has done indicate that it has not increased. Now, it may have increased or decreased by a very small amount that's within the error of your measurement.
Right, of your sample size. That you
right.
Got, right.
Are fish dying from it? Well, if they were, and if they were dying in significant numbers, you would expect to see a pretty clear signal that that natural mortality rate has gone up. And you would expect to see that signal, if you will, observable in stock size. Such that when you started fishing on them, you might think you were fishing at one level, but it would appear that too many fish are dying for that level.
Right.
Well, we don't see that indication. What we see is a growing stock, which doesn't indicate mortality. We see that we're fishing within the management guidelines of Atlantic States Marine Fisheries. Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, ASMFC, and we see that we're basically controlling mortality. Reproduction is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Another dominant year class this past year, 2005.
Right.
So all of the indications are of a stock that is healthy, and there are no indications that mortality levels have increased beyond attributable causes.
To just MICO.
To something,
so it could be something else. I mean,
either something like MICO or even something else.
Like not having enough food to eat in the bay.
We don't see that increased mortality.
Got you.
You know, you're always going to get a couple opinions.
Right.
If you ask one person who's looking at it from one angle and another person looking at it from another angle. Bottom line, we don't see from DNR work or from work that is accepted by the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission.
Right.
An indication that mortality is increasing, that the stock is diminishing. Rather, what we see is an increasing stock, good reproduction, basically a healthy population. Not to say that MICO isn't in the fish.
Right.
It is. And I think people need to understand that yeah, it is a concern. That's why there's half a dozen agencies studying it.
Right. So there's been a lot of reports, I mean, over the years of skinny fish. I mean, even I've caught some skinny fish. And then, you know, there's all sorts of things. Well, now that MICO is sort of in the press, people are saying, well, you know, it could be MICO because they're dying of MICO and they're not eating. And, you know, we also know that we have the whole menhaden issue going on, which is a whole nother aspect with, you know, forage fish and things like that that could affect these rockfish not having enough to eat, right? So I just want to address that question that the skinny fish that we see sometimes or we're catching isn't necessarily because of this MICO. I mean, there's other thing. I mean, or DNR or all the scientists, the studies aren't pointing towards saying, hey, look, the fish are skinny. Yeah, that's MICO. They're dying and they're wasting away. Is that...
You've touched on a couple points there. The menhaden issue, are menhaden connected to MICO? I don't have a clue. Menhaden are probably in some areas having a localized depletion.
Right.
Now, the management body, ASMFC, again, says that on a coastwide basis, menhaden are okay. Maybe not great, but okay. Are there localized depletions? Could well be. Could they affect fish health? They could. But we haven't made that connection.
Right.
One of the things we're doing here at the lab is trying to study the effect of nutrition and body condition on the progress of Mycobacterium as a disease in stripers. But we're in the infancy of doing that.
Right.
And right now we're working with you know, commercial fish foods to adjust the nutritional state of the fish. Trying to extrapolate it to menhaden, that's a whole nother step, and it's down the line. I can't see that far in the future yet.
So let me ask this, because the focus is on striped bass, obviously, because the recreational fishers here in Maryland, the bay, I mean, the whole bay, really, that's what draws people to really fish in the bay. But there's tons of other fish that recreational anglers and even commercial anglers fish for to harvest. So we go all the way down to the catfish. We go to the white perch, right, the yellow perch. Has there been any research studied that says MICO could be in these fish too, or is it because the spotlight's sort of been on striped bass where they're a bigger biomass species that you can get better data from? So I'm trying to understand if it's just isolated. It seems odd to me that the white perch is a species or connected to a rockfish, I guess genetically in some way, that they couldn't carry it or couldn't have it too. Is that...
Fair question. We've only looked at two other species, white perch and yellow perch, and those have been relatively limited samples. We've not found MICO in either white perch or yellow perch. If you examine the literature on MICO, you'll find 160 species are documented with having it.
Okay.
Typically, in a very dense situation, like an aquarium,
right,
or like an aquaculture, where you've got fish in the whole system that are packed elbow to elbow, not a typical situation in the bay or ocean environment. Other fish can get it. We've only looked at two species that we thought might have had it and haven't found it in them yet.
Okay, yeah, because I was just thinking, just to be fair, that if, in fact, these other species can have it, which sounds like they have been documented, and they're not necessarily dying from it, then it's not necessary that the rockfish are dying from it all of a sudden, too, because it's living in these other species, and we're not seeing them depleted.
We really don't know what the extent is in the environment. Like
right.
I say, only a couple other species examined by us to date didn't find it. That doesn't say it's not there.
Right.
It's you want to appreciate that bacteria are present everywhere.
Right.
So the fact that you find them somewhere is not necessarily alarming. What would be alarming is if you found them having some sort of negative impact. And, of course, that would be the first notion is that fish are dying immediately. Well, striped bass, some may be dying from it, but then striped bass are always dying naturally. The management point is that we've not been able to see that this is translated into a population effect. We don't see an increase in natural mortality rate.
Right, right. So I want to jump to a question that I guess gets to the recreational anglers and even the commercial anglers, which is sort of eating the fish. And I guess there's, I don't want to say sensationalism, but with anything, anyone's going to get scared, right? As soon as you can say, well, people can die from this and things like that. I mean, in from what you know or from the agency's position, if anglers catch the rockfish and they cook the rockfish thoroughly and not eat sushi, or even if they did, I mean, can they get that, the myco through them and that basically kills them? Or, you know, because it's a cold water bacteria, I mean, I'm just thinking this through, right? It goes into your stomach, it's a very hot environment, and it dies. I mean, can you comment on that sort of the whole...
I would comment on the eating cooked fish part to the extent that there is no indication that myco can be transmitted through a properly cooked fish. If you cook it according to your standard directions,
right.
And it's done, you basically kill the bacteria, and the literature doesn't indicate any transmission through that mode. We don't recommend eating raw striped bass.
Right, but that, I mean, no one really recommends eating any raw fish anyway, whether people do it or not, so.
There are lots of potential things.
Right, I mean, so that's a something that just goes without saying.
I know there are sushi fans out there, but
right.
the recommendation is to
tell you no more.
Handle them in a sanitary fashion, cook the fish, and enjoy.
And let's move to the handling of the fish, because there have been some reports, even on TitleFish.com, one of our members got pricked with a fish, and apparently it was Myco, and he's had a really tough time. He's been on antibiotics, and there's been some other people reports throughout the state and throughout, I guess, Baywide. What can you comment on that, and how would you recommend, I mean, anglers, some people are saying, look, carry sanitary alcohol on your boat, and if you get pricked, do that. You know, will that kill the bacteria? And really the handling, because I think that has some people greatly concerned about just fishing and what can happen to them from just handling the fish. So,
of course, there are many things besides myco that you might also contract out of the water.
Right.
Fish being in water, they could well carry them. The vector that I would say you would need to be most concerned about is if you get a cut or a puncture from a spine. I wear gloves whether I'm at work handling fish or whether I'm fishing. When I get a fish up to the boat, it protects my hands
right.
from getting poked by a spine. It protects you from getting cut by the gill plates. It allows me to handle the fish more firmly so that I can get it unhooked and release it if I want to. Basically what you're looking at is a cut and then an introduction of a bacteria through the cut. It might even be a cut you don't recognize as a cut. it could be a micro abrasion that you don't even notice.
Right.
Basically, what you would expect if you got myco is at the location of that cut where the introduction of the bacteria occurred, you might develop a bump, a nodule, a granuloma, a hardening. That could be an indication. If you've got any thought that you've had a cut and have contracted an infection, you need to go to your family medical provider and get attention. Myco is treatable. Just same thing with any infection.
Right. Well, let me ask.
You got to pay attention to it. You don't let it go.
Let me ask this, because now I'm thinking. Let's say you do. I mean, I get stuck. I've been stuck a lot. So if you get stuck, it might not necessarily just be. I mean, the myco lives in the fish. It lives in the spine, but it's not like a striped bass is like a bumblebee. That when it stings you, it injects something into you. So how can a human really even get them? I mean, if they get stuck with the spine, is it living on the outside of the spine? Is it?
Myco can be on the outside of the fish.
Okay.
And I guess we need to touch on the issue of fish sores.
Right.
The fish sores are not necessarily indicative of myco. They often are referred to by the scientists as an ulcerative dermatitis, which is a catch-all for a sore that is inflamed and may be caused by a bunch of things. And in fact, most of the sores, when you try and culture myco from it, you don't get it.
Oh, really?
You don't get it to grow. But there could be other things there that
right.
could infect you. You get poked by a catfish spine, I can almost guarantee you you're going to get an infection from that.
Right.
And it's not myco. Certainly some of the sores do have myco associated with them, and certainly myco can be in the water. So no, it's not like you're getting injected.
So myco could be in the water without the fish.
Yes.
So you could swim.
You could swim through myco, possibly.
Possibly.
Sure.
Right.
How much of it lives there? Don't know.
Right.
You certainly want to practice just common sense sanitary handling. If you catch a fish and it's got sores on it, handle it as little as possible. Release it.
Right.
Go for a healthy fish. Whatever that fish has, you don't need to fool with it. And if you didn't have gloves on, or even if you did, wash your hands. I carry one of these bottles of liquid hand wash that's got antibacterial compounds of some sort in it.
Right.
Just wash with common soap. That works too. If you see a fish and you've got gloves and it's got a sore, put your gloves on.
Right.
Common sense. And same sort of thing with just handling them. Just because a fish or an animal doesn't appear to have an infection, it could.
Right.
So you handle raw fish, you wash your hands.
Right. Well, listen, I really appreciate you taking the time today to talk with us. I think it's been really great, and hope our listeners get a lot out of it. And you know, if they have any questions, I'm sure they'll talk on the tidalfish.com message boards, and we'll see some discussion prompted from it. So thanks again, Steve.
My pleasure.